Good morning, everyone. It seems so strange to be here in such a large auditorium and the congregation is everywhere else, but we have to adjust to the circumstances. Imagine that you are in the National Football League and you are a linebacker. There you are defending the quarterback, but you're in the body you have now. And standing opposite you is a guy who's 6'6", 360 pounds, and he's telling you he's gonna crush you and stomp you into the ground. That leads to the title of this sermonette, Facing Evil. Facing Evil. Over 20 years ago, in a Toastmasters club that I was in, there was an evangelical Christian, and he said that Christians will be persecuted, and he was talking to anyone who basically believes the Bible. I didn't believe him, but he was right. Mr. Kubik had mentioned that there will be persecution of the churches because of our current society, the society that is hostile to the Bible and hostile to any church that believes in the Bible. So, who are these attackers? Who are these accusers, and how do they attack? Now, there's an example we've seen in the news, an individual who refused to make a cake for an LGBT wedding. As a result, he was boycotted, he was sued, he was given fines by the local government. Ultimately, he was vindicated by the Supreme Court, but they didn't stop. They put another lawsuit on him, and he's going through the legal process again. You might have also remembered an individual named Nick Sandman. He was 17-year-old. He was wearing a MAGA hat. He was accused by an activist called Nathan Phillips, who was in his 60s, had 40 years of training and experience in attacking people with different beliefs. He was looking for the low fruit because this was a 17-year-old kid, and he had over 40 years of experience. Even though he attacked this kid, and the kid was essentially innocent, the media totally supported Phillips. As a result, Sandman was denied entrance into a college which he had already been accepted. Ultimately, he sued CNN and Washington Post and won some settlement. But in these circumstances, neither one of these individuals expected this, and neither do we. It could be us, could be you, could be me. It's anyone who believes in this Bible because society is opposed to it. We need to prepare ourselves for when we might face an accuser. And it may not even just be in this world now. It may be during the millennium because there will be people who will not want to follow God. As in the White Throne Judgment, the same may be the case. There will be people who will not want to follow God. They'll want to be God, just like Satan wanted to be God. So let's take a look at who you will be facing if you are facing the accuser. Well, God tells us their mentality, and we can read it in Romans 1:28, where God says he's going to give them over to a debased mind. Now, these people have denied God's laws, denied the Bible, and denied the commandments and want to put themselves in its place. So God says in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Key here is the debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. That is the face of evil that you will be facing. And remember, Jesus faced this, and he said we would be going through the same types of trials. You know, they're easy to pick them out. They call evil for good and good for evil. But the point is, we are not going to change them. When God has given someone over to a debased mind, they're not going to change in this life. But there's also a command for us. And the command for us is we must not deny Christ. In Matthew 10:32, reading, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So there's two things here. You'll be facing someone with a debased mind out to hurt you, the lineman, the evil. You cannot deny God in this interaction. Two things. Now, our society has changed, and God told us in Ephesians 6 with the armor of God how we defend against it. I just want to raise a few points, very few. When Darwin came up with his theory of evolution, he presented a way so that someone can say there is no God. And if there is no God, then there is no salvation. And that is the attack on the helmet of salvation. Same thing can be said for the breastplate of righteousness. What's going on in our society now is not righteousness. It's unrighteousness. You know, as it said, untrustworthy, undiscerning, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And we can look at it in all sections of society. Look at modern music now. Look at the movies. When was the last time you saw God or a church represented positively in a movie? It's very rare. The songs that we hear essentially defy Judeo-Christian values. No, the rock songs, the rap songs, all of them. And we're seeing a media that is controlled by these people. And anyone who tries to stand up is either intimidated, as in the case of Chick-fil-A, which eventually backed off, or the institutions are infiltrated and individuals are put in charge who support these things, as happened in several companies. And so that is the situation that we face in our society, in the people who will be accusing us. And I'm deliberately using accusing because Satan is the accuser and they are representing him in this accusation. But how do we deal with this type of situation? Now, first, there are three types of accusers. There's the point man. There's the Nathan Phillips when it came to the Sandman case. There's the lawyers when it came to the cake baker. This person is trained, experienced. He's looking for low fruit, and he thinks you're the low fruit because you have had no training and experience under these types of circumstances. Behind him are intimidators. In the case of Nathan Phillip, while he was attacking Sandman, he had individuals beating drums. And then the third part is the mob. He had a mob behind him. Everyone knows a mob is unpredictable. But in that mob, there's a weakness that you may be able to exploit. And that is some of the people in the mob, and I know some of these people also, actually think that they are righteous. They go to church, but they go to a church where perhaps it has a gay bishop and they don't hear. But they have a basic belief in Jesus Christ. May not go any deeper than that, but they have that. And that is an advantage that you have. Now, Jesus was often accosted by people accusing him. Unbelieving Pharisees and scribes were usually the case. He's some government official. But he had a technique in handling all of these. I think that the reason it's there in the Bible is because this is to teach us to use the technique that he used. So the first technique, and there's two that I'm going to mention. When someone accuses you, accosts you, you don't answer them. You reply with a question. In other words, you're taking the offense and you're going to push back against this guy. So you answer the question. Let's look at an example in Matthew 15, verse 2. And I'll read it. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He, Jesus, answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. Notice, he didn't answer their question. He asked them a question, and he also used their own beliefs against them. Okay, let's bring it into the 21st century. Are you tolerant of the LGBT community? You reply with a question. Are you tolerant of Christian beliefs? Not when the Christian beliefs are intolerant. So you answer, oh, so I guess then you're admitting that you are intolerant. And by the way, why are your beliefs better than someone else's beliefs? You know, Christians' beliefs, look at Jesus Christ. Jesus preached peace. Are you preaching peace? I preach tolerance. Your answer? Then why aren't you tolerant of me? Notice, I never went on the defense. Always went on the offense. Always pushed back. But notice I introduced Jesus to that, which leads to the second point, reframing. I'm reframing the argument because I want him to stop attacking me, to attack Jesus, because there are people in the mob that actually believe in Jesus. And if he attacks Jesus, he will lose them, which is a good thing. Also, I'm not denying my belief in Jesus Christ, which is critical. Let's get more into the reframing argument. Jesus did this with John 3, verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus never mentioned born again. That wasn't in the issue. But Jesus anticipated where the conversation was going, and he took control. He put Nicodemus on the defensive by reframing. So let's take a look again at using reframing with the argument that we're doing. Are you tolerant of the LGBT community? Why do you ask? Coming back with a question. Because I think it's important to know. Why is it important for you to know? What makes you so special? What makes you right and Christian beliefs wrong? And get back into Jesus, preach peace. Again, you're reframing. You're moving him onto the defensive. If he's very experienced, he'll realize that you're not low-hanging fruit, and he'll move on to lower-hanging fruit. If he's inexperienced, he'll keep going, but he's not getting anywhere because you're not going on defense. You're always pushing him on offense. In other words, you're pushing back that 360-pound linebacker. Our society has become a militant and secular society. It has no use for the Bible and those who believe in it. Churches are being co-opted, and if they don't go along, they're going to be attacked. And we're one of the churches that will not go along. We can see it in our movies. We can see it in our music. We can see it in the news media. And we see it in businesses that must tote the line or be attacked and boycotted. We need to prepare ourselves and be ready. We need to practice. But we have one advantage where we can beat that 360-pound linebacker. In Matthew 10:19, God's promise, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. So as long as we are close to God, as long as we follow the principles that he's given to us in the Bible, he will back us up. And should we face that 360-pound linebacker, the face of evil, we'll actually run over him.